Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. This is a special Sunday. It is the first Sunday of the month, and therefore we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together, but also as being the first Sunday in October is World Communion Sunday. So we are gathering with Christians around the world and celebrating the Lord's Supper together today. And so I'm glad that you were able to be here today as we gather for worship. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. Also extend a special welcome to those who are visiting today. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask you that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. On the inside back cover of the bulletin is the calendar for this week. And just calling your attention to that, do also want to point out that we are scheduling a service of believers' baptism later this fall. And if you know of anyone who is interested in either baptism or church membership, that to please have them speak with me as soon as possible. Also, on the back page of the bulletin are several activities that are coming up or ongoing. Several of them I've mentioned to you in past weeks, but just calling your attention to that. I do want to let you know the Refugee Immigration Ministry dinner on Sunday, November 6th. We do have tickets for that. If you are able to pay today, you may see Marilyn Glover. Otherwise, contact the church office. There is a discount if you purchase before the 15th of October rather than waiting till at the door. Also, the fall bulb sale for the Refugee Immigration Ministry. Today is the deadline for ordering those bulbs. There is a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel if you are interested in doing that. In addition, while you're having coffee hour, there is a sign-up sheet for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and when I looked early this morning, the remainder of October was vacant. So if you are able to serve in one of those capacities, we invite you to sign up to either be a greeter and or a coffee hour host during the month of October. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 624 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading a selection of verses from both the Old and New Testaments as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship, so let us read responsively from God's holy word. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith.
Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus.
I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able.
God, I have entrusted to him in that day.
Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy.
Find grace to help us in our time of need.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God.
We ask anything according to his will. He hears us.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what he asked of him.
So we know and rely on the love God has for us.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord,
he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge.
For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in blameless.
Our opening hymn this morning is Soldiers of Christ Arise, number 629 in the blue hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Strength which God supplies through
Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather as the body of Christ this morning to boldly offer you our prayers and our praise. You alone are worthy of our praise. Prepare our hearts and minds to worship you so that we may be fully present to you, setting aside any cares or concerns. Let our words, spoken and sung, be to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name and now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And this morning for our children's message, I'm going to have Marilyn Glover, who's chair of our mission board, share with you a mission moment.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to take a little more than 70 seconds on this World Communion Sunday to share with you some information about World Mission Offering. Why that amount of time? Because we give to the World Mission Offering, and when we do, we're supporting the work of American Baptist International Ministries in more than 70 countries around the world. During our worship services this month, we'll be learning more about the many efforts of international ministries to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven, as we just said in our Lord's Prayer. And you'll see that same phrase from Sunday to Sunday, on earth as it is in heaven, on Sunday inserts. Through the World Mission Offering, we're fulfilling Christ's mission in countries like Cuba, and Cuba is going to be one of the focuses we're going to take on in this particular offering. Recently, a house church in Cuba with more than 300 members now celebrated the baptisms of 8 people from ages 15 to 80 years of age. The good news of Jesus is for all ages and for all countries. You can continue to make it possible for international ministries to keep spreading the gospel as you give your World Mission Offering, which we'll dedicate on October 30th. During these coming weeks, enjoy learning about the work of international ministries in more than 70 countries. For now, my 70-plus seconds is up. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Yes, we will be receiving one of our 4 annual mission offerings, the World Mission Offering. It supports the mission work outside the United States. We'll be receiving that offering during this month. You'll be receiving more and more information about that, but just a plug to get us started to think as we're beginning the month of October. So at this time, the students and teacher may go to their class. We have an opportunity to share our celebrations and our concerns with one another as we go into a time of prayer. And one celebration is that John and Christina Nowak are here with Thaddeus, and it's a wonderful celebration. And as we were celebrating last week, the birth of Amelia Rose Reardon, which is Thaddeus' cousin, I believe, will be cousin. We celebrate this new life, these new lives that have come into the family. And we just celebrate that. So it's a wonderful celebration. Some concerns we have is we want to continue remembering Helen Fleet as she continues to be at rehab, strengthening her leg muscles around her replaced hip. We want to keep Chuck and Cindy Huddy as they are traveling from Hawaii this week, having been there for a few months taking care of Chuck's mom. So we want to remember them and their travels. We want to continue to remember Paul Patria. Paul was hospitalized this week, and I have not heard yet if he was released yet. But I did speak to him this week, and he was hospitalized for some health issues. So we want to keep Paul in prayer. Also, continue to remember May Upperman in prayer as May continues with swallowing difficulties and is at home. Do you have any prayer requests you'd like to share with the church family this morning? Peggy. Okay. Peggy's niece, Sarah, her granddaughter, Michelle, and grandson, Chris, with various issues. We want to keep them in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Yes, Mark. Yes, another celebration. Addie Lynn has arrived. Much anticipated. Dad's doing okay, and Mom is a severe diabetic and hasn't seen physicians 3 times a week for the last several months. But everybody's doing okay right now, so we celebrate that as another new birth, another new life. It's a wonderful celebration. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Okay, so granddaughter Genevieve, who injured her ankle. Okay. Anyone else have a prayer? Yes. Okay, healing and restoration and the power of God revealed in your family. We'll pray for that. Anyone else? No, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come this morning in gratitude for all of your blessings. We pray especially and thank you especially for the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. We have communion later this morning, and we're mindful of the sacrifice that he paid for us. And we are so grateful for that. It gives us hope, gives us comfort, and gives us courage to face the struggles that we have each day of our lives. Lord, this day we lift up those who are ill and injured and pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. We also pray, O God, for those who are in mourning today. Just pray for their spirit of comfort and peace to be with those as well. Lord, today we thank you for the gift of life. We've heard of another new birth. We celebrate with a six-month-old who's here, and just it's so good to see such young life, O God, and we know that life comes from you. Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray for parents and grandparents and family members that are caring for them, for these new lives. And Lord, we just pray that your spirit may continue to bless those families with wisdom and stamina to care for the little ones as they mature in the faith and mature physically and emotionally, that they will have all the means that they need to help them, help their children. Lord, we pray for our world as well. And it seems as if we pick up the newspaper or log on to the internet or listen to the news on TV or radio, and all we hear about is violence. And Lord, when we think about new life coming into the world and questioning what their world may be like, we pray for peace in our world, O God. Even in our nation, O God, a week does not go by but what we hear about gunfire and innocent lives being lost. Lord, we just don't know what to pray. But we turn our world, we turn our nation to you, and pray that you would help us to make wise decisions. And one of those decisions will be in the coming weeks as we elect our new national leader. Lord, we just pray that we may have make the best decisions, what's best for our country. And Lord, we just thank you for the privileges we have in this country. Thank you for those who have fought to defend the rights we have here. And Lord, we just pray that we may live up to the sacrifices that have been paid, so that we may select wisely the leaders that will lead us in the coming years. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful nation. We thank you for those who have come here to help make it what it is, both historically and currently. We have people from all over the world coming here. Lord, we just are known as a melting pot. And Lord, we can only imagine that this may be what heaven may look like someday, of all people from all over blending together. Again, we thank you, God, for being able to be here to worship you this day. We offer all of these things to you now in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper later in the service, and as part of that service, we have two different offerings on Communion Sundays. The first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ministry and mission of this congregation. This time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Loving God, we present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us and send your Spirit upon us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, and that's found in the back section of the Pew Bible on page 194, if you would like to follow along. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who are in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This is the reading from God's word. May we be blessed by reading it, hearing it, and applying it. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we have read from your disciple Timothy, disciple Paul writing to Timothy. And Lord, as we might be receiving those words as Timothy did, we recognize ourselves in some of that description perhaps. We all obviously recognize others in some of that human condition that Paul wrote about. Lord, we pray this day that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word, a message from you that may help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. What's on your plate these days? Chances are that our first response to that question has little to do with food and a lot more to do with how many activities we have on our calendar or to-do list. It's amazing how Americans have become so obsessed with food that we envision our lives as a dinner plate. What we seem less obsessed with, however, is what we get, what we put on our dinner plates in the first place. In fact, the federal health guidelines abandoned the food pyramid nutritional model and adopted the metaphor called my plate. This is designed to illustrate the five food groups that are the building blocks for a healthy diet using a familiar image, a place setting for a meal. And the website instructs, before you eat, think about what goes on your plate, in your cup, or in your bowl. And the five food groups are that we probably learned so long ago, fruits, grains, vegetables, protein, and dairy. Despite an epidemic of obesity and numerous warnings that our meal plates are full of harmful foods, Americans still tend to consume what's bad for us. In fact, our frenetically busy lifestyles might be the precise reason we tend to eat the worst kinds of food, those that are fast, those that are cheap, those that are easy. Everywhere we look, warnings describe our unhealthy eating habits. Various sources list different killer foods. But one of the common characteristics of all harmful foods is that they are rich in ingredients that contribute to a high calorie, sodium, and/or cholesterol count. And some of the main culprits are sugar, diet or light products, surprisingly, processed foods, and fried foods. I think we've all heard those things before. But there's a reason that we call these things junk foods. They contribute nothing good to our well-being and instead make us feel like junk because they promise taste and pleasure. We gorge ourselves on them at times, never being content with enough. But we're not here today to focus just on our dining practices. There must be an alternative to both our culinary and our spiritual diets so we can fill our plates in ways that make us rich in health and vitality. In writing to his young protege, Timothy, the Apostle Paul outlines a strategy for getting rid of the over-enriched junk in our lives and instead becoming rich in the things that matter. In chapter 6, Paul warns Timothy of those who think that their godliness is a means of material gain. In Paul's Jewish world, many believed that serving God would lead to financial wealth. Thus, they pointed to their good works in expectation of a blessing. We might think of it as an early version of the health and wealth gospel, where a person just names and claims wealth as a blessing from God. For Paul, however, this is the first century equivalent of a diet soda and a processed bag of chips. It looks and tastes rich, but it's a diet full of empty calories. Instead, Paul says, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Paul argues for what we might call a diet of enoughness, or that feeling of being full of enough of the right things that we don't crave the wrong things. As rich food can be harmful to the body, so the pursuit of material riches can be harmful to the soul. In fact, Paul offers his own list of four harmful things that people can consume that will plunge them into ruin and destruction, as he writes, and pierce them with many pains. The first is discontent, as excess sugar is the basis for a lot of harmful foods we consume. So does discontent permeate a life that is bent on overconsumption. We always seem to want what we cannot have instead of wanting what we already have. Paul argues that contentment is a key to health, that happiness is not having what we want, but wanting what we have. Contentment is recognizing that we are dependent on God's provision. We prayed that this morning, our daily bread. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. That's part of what Jesus taught us how to pray, is to pray to depend on God's provisions. It's not something we earn, but is rather a gift from God. When we are content with what we have, our appetites tend to be satiated, and we can bypass the junk. The second harmful thing that Paul talks about is harmful desires. The pursuit of riches can cause people to fall into temptation and leave them trapped by many senseless and harmful desires, Paul writes. Junk food can be addicting, and junk riches can lead us to fill up on the empty promise that material gain will make us happier. When people have dedicated their lives to the pursuit of money, only to find that in the end, they were poorer for it. The third harmful type of thing that Paul illustrates, mentions, is the love of money. The old saying that money is the root of all evil is not actually what Paul says here. It's not money itself that's the problem. It's like fat and sugar themselves aren't the real problems in our diets. We actually need them to live, just like we need money. But we need them in moderation, and we need them in perspective. When we crave money, instead of merely building it into our healthy lifestyle, we're bound to make ourselves fat with it. Jesus warned us what would happen if we did so. When he told the parable, this parable that I'm going to read now from Jesus, there was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I don't have a place to keep all of my crops. What can I do? This is what I will do," he told himself. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, 'Lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" Jesus continues, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night you will have to give up your life, and then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself?'" And Jesus concluded, "This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight." And the fourth harmful thing that Paul mentions in his letter to Timothy is an eagerness to be rich. Which basically that parable that Jesus talked about was talking about that too. When we're eager to fatten up on riches, we can become envious of those who have more than we do. It's called keeping up with the Joneses. The more we pursue a lifestyle beyond our means in a way of keeping up, putting our faith in money to make us happy, the more likely we are to wander away from the faith that actually sustains us. Paul tells Timothy to avoid these things like we should avoid the junk food aisle in the grocery store. Instead, we should go for the things that have high value in spiritual nutrition: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These are the things that we can consume and share as much as we want. It's like the celery and the carrots on our plate. These are things that we want to share with others. In fact, says Paul, these things come to us unprocessed and straight from the source, from God who gives life to all things, and from Jesus, who will bring about the fullness of his kingdom on earth at the right time. Because God supplies what we need, Paul encourages Timothy to put those in his church, his congregation, who are wealthy, he encouraged to put them on a real diet, where they can see their riches as a tool to be used by God. They should adjust their consumption, he says, to set our hopes on God and not on our riches. Take our focus down from here and to focus it on God. Junk food does not ultimately make us happy or healthy, and neither does a plethora of junk bonds. Only God, the one who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, can make us happy and content. We also need to be rich in good works, Paul says. A diet only works if there is good food to replace the bad. Paul urges people not to be known by the size of their bank accounts. Instead, they should be rich in the amount of good that they do for others. Putting money to work for others provides good, nutritious fuel for the soul. Burning off the excess fat and making others healthy in body, mind, and spirit. And Paul also instructs Timothy and also is instructing us to be generous and to be ready to share. When we share with others, we store up the treasure of a good foundation for the future. Jesus called it treasure in heaven, or that which puts us in line with the way of God's kingdom. A good spiritual diet will lead us to less consumption and more distribution, so that others may come to know Christ and experience real, eternal life and health. After years of extensive research, psychologists have discovered at least 9 practices, all of which are under our control, and they are taught in the Bible, that lead to happiness and contentment. They are also confirmed by experience. So when it comes to all overall life contentment, science, experience, and scripture are complete in agreement. The following 9 attributes and behaviors make people content. Contented people use trials as growth opportunities. Contented people cultivate optimism. Contented people focus on the present. Contented people practice forgiveness. Contented people practice generosity. Contented people nurture relationships. Contented people express gratitude. Contented people care for their bodies. And finally, contented people care for their souls. A full plate can either be a good thing or a bad thing. It just depends on what fills it up. An old adage says, you are what you eat. Are we fast, cheap, and easy? Or are we taking the time and care to eat right, to spend right, and to share right? Are we gorging on junk food from our pantry and our bank account? Or are we filling our plate with good food and using our time and money wisely in the service of others? The question this morning we are asked to answer is, what's on your plate? Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we recognize that at times we do not eat correctly, and at times we do not relate to others correctly either, Lord. At times we get so focused on our own material possessions that we are concerned that we might lose them, so we begin hoarding them and not wanting to share. Lord, as science and experience and scripture all instruct us, and we discover that that does not lead to contentment, satisfaction in this life. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may be upon us as we live each day, as we fill our plates to eat, but also fill our calendars and our to-do list with things to do, that we may always be mindful of what is best for us and our neighbors, what you would have us to do. Lord, as we move into the time of celebrating the Lord's Supper, we are mindful of what was on Jesus' plate that night, and the disciples as well. And Lord, we just pray for your Spirit to be with us now and prepare us to eat and drink together. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is I Come With Joy, number 747. We'll be singing verse 1 only.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. The second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God in the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as the faithful disciples of the Christ, that we will cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son.
Jesus is the host of our table. And as the host, He invites each one of us with these words. Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins? Was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today. For as the host, Jesus invites all believers to the table. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the invitation of coming to your table. And Lord, we search our hearts now, and in silence we confess to you any sins that we are aware of that we have committed, and we ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions, and we do pray that you would forgive us of our sins, to purify us and wash us clean, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That last night that Jesus was alive here on earth, he and the disciples met in the upper room to celebrate the Passover, the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt and slavery. And part of that meal was the bread. And after giving thanks, Jesus took the bread and began breaking it and telling his disciples, "This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you." And he told them, "Whenever you eat this bread, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Broken bread, representing Christ's broken body, broken so that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As that meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup and again gave thanks for the cup and began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for us, that we might be whole, that we might have abundant life, eternal life. Lord, we thank you for that, and we pray that being together today, we may be strengthened as we leave this place. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us that Jesus and the disciples sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn is Take the Name of Jesus With You, number 127. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only. May you leave here this morning renewed by and filled with the Holy Spirit, prepared to serve God, proclaiming Jesus as the name above all names. Amen.